Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to continue looking at this subject in this season of It's a Wonderful Life. Our sermon series is based on that movie of James Stewart, the great Christmas movie, where George Bailey thinks that his life is worthless. He thinks, what's the point? He's ready to jump off the bridge. And then sent, it would seem, as they do in Hollywood from heaven, is an angel called Clarence who helps him review his life and see what it would have been like, what his world would have looked like if he had not been born and how different it was. And I want to bring encouragement, and the purpose of this series is to bring encouragement to everyone, because I want you to know this morning it's a wonderful life. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, if you still have breath in your body, it's a wonderful life. Do you know how many people would change position with you right now? Even on your worst day? Even if it's your biggest struggle, do you know that there are people, literally hundreds and thousands, I guess millions of people, that would gladly change position with you because actually you don't realize you have a wonderful life. So as we go through this series, we're going to deal with a number of things. And I just want to look at this thought this morning, dealing with rejection. I think it's very important that we understand this subject when you go to the Bible. It has a lot to say on it. We won't dwell too much. We won't park up. But I've discovered that part of the challenge often in church life is we have people who love Jesus and they want to walk in the fullness of abundant life, but things happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, things happen. Come on, stuff happens. Stuff happens. And it can knock us out of sync and we can miss and suddenly we don't think that life is so wonderful. So I'm going to continue using the same scripture from last week because we started to look at that and just began to unpack that a little bit. So John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, what do we mean by this whole thought of abundant life? Well, I looked it up. Abundant simply means this: life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for mind, body, and soul. I don't know about you, but I'm up for that. You see, you could be here this morning and you can look absolutely picture perfect. Externally, you may have 20/20 vision. Your temperature may be 98.6 and your pulse 72, but you can be sitting here this morning and dying inside. You can be hurting, fragile, falling apart. And that's why we need to understand that Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and that you would live it in the fullness of abundance. We have eternal life. That's the promise of God when we go to be with Him. Are you excited about that? We have eternal life. But he also promised us abundant life here and now. You can't separate the two. So abundant life today, eternal life is coming our way. So I want to delve back into the verse that I used last week from the book of Philippians because we only covered a couple of the points. And we read in Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14, Paul speaking, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, folks, I have not arrived, writing to the church at Philippi. I'm not there yet. He says, but one thing I do. Now, I said this last week, a little bit of review. When the Apostle Paul can narrow it down to one thing, you better pay attention. This guy, he knew God. He knew God's word. He knew what it was to be taken into the heavens. I mean, this was an incredible man of God. And he narrows it down and he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Purpose is a pathway towards our destiny. Just a little bit of review, I said last week how often the enemy is after your destiny. He will do everything he can to get you out of step. He knows that God has a plan for your life. In fact, I sometimes think the enemy believes that God has a plan for our life more than we actually believe that God has a plan for our life. He attacks. He comes. He wants to disrupt. He wants to derail. He wants to get us off a target, off a track. He wants to paralyze us. And that's why I love this scripture, because for me, this scripture helps me get back on track. It helps me to realize that I haven't only to forget the things that are behind, but I've actually got to press forward. You see, it's easy to preach about the forgetting, but actually we've got to also talk about the moving forward into the things of God. I think when you love Jesus, you're very clear your life is going to count. And what excites me is this, that even when a man closes the door, well, it's just like Jericho. At Jericho, the enemy, the people there, tried to stop the children of Israel coming into the promised land. So the Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 that Jericho was securely shut. In other words, they locked the door. But when man locks a door, God will knock the walls down. God is not restricted by a hinge, come on church, or a padlock. You're not with me yet this morning. I said God is not restricted by a padlock or pushing a bolt, Eddie, and saying this will keep them out of the purposes of God. God says they don't need to go through a door. I'll just take the walls down. And I think we need to understand, and we need to get this into our heart and into our spirit, especially when it comes to dealing with areas of rejection, because we sometimes think if man has rejected us, it stops us moving into the purpose of God. Listen, man can reject you, but my God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Come on, say amen. And the Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived. And we looked at this last week where he spoke about the whole focus of this one thing I do. And I think we need to get better at being focused. Have you ever noticed or listened to parents when they're talking to a little child and maybe your child is playing up? And I've heard parents say this, and we've said this as parents. We've said to our children, look at me. Because when a child is playing up, they'll look everywhere except into your face. And you know they're hearing you, but you want them to look at you because, come on, you've got this coming. Because a kid will distract you in every way when it knows it's been up to mischief. How'd I know? Because I was that kid. So what parents will say, come on, you've said it, will say to our children when they're young, look at me. Why? Because we want them to focus, because we want them to hear what we're about to say. And the Apostle Paul nailed it when he said, this one thing I do. He was able to focus in other words, move from all the distractions. And then we looked and we spent a great deal of time when the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And I love this line, forgetting those things. Because the truth is, this morning, every single person in this room has dealt with those things. Put a name on it right now, because your things may be different to my things, but everybody's got those things. Can I have a witness? Everyone in this room, from the oldest saint to the youngest one sitting here, to the one that's been saved for many, many years, to the new convert, everybody in the past has had to deal with those things. And the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things. Can I say this, church? I think I said this last week. Failure is not fatal. And we seem to live in a world that if you get something wrong, if you mess something up, if something happens, then it's almost over. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I trust people that have never failed, because if you've never failed, you've never tried to accomplish anything. So failure is not fatal. In fact, failure can be the doorway to what God has for you. Yet there are people in this room who you're stuck in your yesterdays, and you're allowing the enemy to condemn you and replay that video over and over again of past things that have happened. And this scripture is not only about your past, but it has got a lot to do with your future. And that's the incredible thing about memory. It said that memory is a faculty that allows you to remember yesterday, the good and the bad. Now, I just like to remember the good. But also I know that in my head there's a video that plays the bad as well. And by the way, an enemy can hurt you repeatedly if you can't forget. So we looked last week at this whole thought of, for some people, they struggle because it's the way they've been raised. Perhaps they struggle to deal with what others have done or what we have done ourselves. I was thinking this week, how many of you have been to Disney? Disney World, Florida, Disneyland, Paris. How many of you have watched a Disney movie? How many of you? Okay, I'm just trying to make sure everyone's included. I love when you go to Disney World because you sort of go into all these different lands, don't you? You go into frontier land. Now, frontier land is the way it used to be. The Old West, Thunder Mountain, come on, the wagons. How many of you have got a picture coming down the Splash Mountain? Oh, that's great fun. Oh, you've got to lift your hands when you do that, haven't you? It's amazing. You won't lift your hands in church, but you can lift. Anyway. Maybe we need to get cameras up here. Frontierland, it's the way it used to be. And it's wonderful, it's nostalgic, as you walk around that and you enjoy it so much. And then you can go into Tomorrowland. Now, Tomorrowland, that's where there's Space Mountain. Now, if you're brave, you can do Space Mountain. It's like a roller coaster in the dark. I mean, and as you walk up there, there are signs everywhere, you know, if you suffer from high blood pressure, if you have problems with your heart. And I remember the first time I was there, I was just a little boy, and I was able to make it. I was above the height, but all the way up, I'm saying, is my heart okay? Am I fine? Am I going to make it? It's the way Tomorrowland. It's in Tomorrowland that you've got the carousel of progress. Come on, it spins. Looking into the future. The only problem with that is they need to update it all the time because things are changing so much. And then, of course, there's Fantasyland. The way we wish it was. In Fantasyland, it's a small world. It's a small world after all. It's beautiful. Here we have all these little characters from all the different nations. They're all singing in unity and harmony. That's why it's called Fantasy. All these different cultures. And I was thinking about this week. We go to Disney, we go into Frontierland, we go into Tomorrowland, and we go into Fantasyland. But you know what happens, Daniel? After you've done that, you come out of the park, you get onto a tram, you get back to the car park, you get into your car, and you get back to the reality of life. And so many Christians want to live in Frontierland, the way it used to be. And a lot of Christians want to live in Tomorrowland. Oh, the way we hope it's going to be. And dare I say it without being rude? Not at Apex. But I know there are some people that live in Fantasyland, the way they think it's going to be. But I'm praying that this series is going to be a wake-up call for all of us, because we have to get back into our cars and live life as it is. And if we want to live this wonderful life, then we've got to forget those things that are behind. So the Apostle Paul says this, forgetting those things which are behind, he says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Notice how he ties those things which are behind with those things which are ahead. You can't separate them. Do you get that? He says, and. Some people want to live in the past. Some people only want to live in the future. But the Apostle Paul says, you're never going to live fully in the abundance of what God has for you in your tomorrows if you don't deal with your yesterdays. He says, you've got to forget those things which are behind. And then he says the same terminology. He says, and move forward into those things which are ahead. Are you getting it this morning? You see, sometimes we focus on the forgetting and the forward, but the apostle says, Paul says, what about those things? What are you doing with those things? Because if you're only looking at the things that are in your future, but you haven't dealt with the things that are in your past, you're not going to live a wonderful life. And if you're only focused on the things in your past
and you're not dealing with the things in your future which God has for you, then you're not going to... Are you with me this morning? Did I say that wrong? I'm not sure. But what I'm trying to say to you is, we have got to recognize that there's a correlation between my past and my future. I've got to realize there's things there, but there are things here. And if I don't deal with these things here, I'm not going to go into these things here. Come on, someone say amen. Because some of you are comfortable living in frontier land when God has a tomorrow land for you. Some of you like it the way it used to be, and God said, that's fine, but this is a new day and a new season in your Christian walk, and I want you to have the abundant life because it's a wonderful life. So deal with those things so that you can lay hold of these things. Come on, someone say amen. That's good preaching right there. And one of the areas, or one of the things I think that stops us or restricts us, is this whole thing called rejection. Now, this is a massive subject, and the problem with many of us is at times, unbeknown to us, we can carry what is called an orphan spirit. Now, this is a massive subject. What is an orphan spirit? It's this feeling of rejection, and by the way, most people are not orphans that carry an orphan spirit. And it can stem from this thought of being unloved, unwanted, never good enough. Don't put your hand up. This whole feeling of being hypersensitive, that when we carry an orphan spirit, we often think that we've got to work for the approval of someone else. We're never at peace within ourselves. We think that we're judged by what we do or how good we do things. And when we never feel it's good enough, we can carry this spirit of rejection. And you know what? Sadly, it can reside within our personality, and there can be a residue, and we think we're over it. And every now and then, all it takes is someone to look at us the wrong way, say the wrong thing, to feel excluded from a situation. Everybody else got invited. We didn't get invited. And it stirs up the spirit within us, and we don't realize that there can be a residue of rejection, and we begin to interpret everything through the lens of abandonment, rejection, and disappointment. And what is the antidote for that? I'll tell you what the antidote is. The Bible already tells us. If there's a sense of an orphan spirit, or you're carrying rejection, we need to understand the spirit of adoption, which God's word tells us. Romans 8:15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We sang it already. Instead, I love this verse. You have received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. All the rejection that's happened back there, let me tell you, is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And whatever has happened there, or whatever spirit is lingering within me, the good news is I have the spirit of adoption. Come on, church. And this morning I can cry, Abba, Father, I belong. And that's how we deal with this whole thought of rejection. I can speak on adoption, as you know, because I'm adopted. If you're here and you didn't know that, breaking news. Adopted. My mom, she's here this morning, Mrs. C. She was brought up in a broken home. I asked her permission to share this yesterday. Her mother ended up being married 4 times. An A, B, C, and D, we think, if we remember correctly. Mom was brought up in a broken home. Her and her sister were passed from pillar to post. Mom would be at school. And suddenly her father would appear and take her away to live with them. And it was back and forward. It wasn't a very easy life until they settled that my grandfather's mother, is that correct? Did I say that? Mom's granny gave them a home, Mom and her sister Christian, and looked after them wonderfully well. It was absolutely fantastic. Mom says it was there that she understood what love was. She found a place of value. Her granny loved her with all her heart. So with all the rejection that was going on in Mom's world, she found out what it was to belong and be loved. And Mom, I asked her again yesterday, Mom said that in that situation, even though at this point she wasn't a Christian, She always says that God, if you allow me when I'm older and married, I want to adopt a child because I want a child to know its love just like I've been loved. Come on. I want a child to feel that and understand that feeling of being loved because mom had experienced that. Fast forward several years, and now it's 1961. Down in Edinburgh, there's a white girl that has just fallen pregnant. She's not married. She's going to have a baby early in 1962. It's going to be a black baby. That's me. She tries to figure out if she can keep this child. So, as it was in those days, she could stay 3 months in the home and stay with the child to see if they could make it work. And for 3 months, my biological mother tried to see if she could make it work in society in the midst of everything that was going on back there in the 60s, in the midst of all the challenge racially and everything that was happening. But she tried everything she could do to see if she could keep that child. Sadly, it came to the conclusion for her that she could not, and she would put that child up for adoption. I want you to get this. So in Edinburgh, there's disappointment. In Edinburgh, there's a sense of, I am going to have to give my child up. But in Peterhead, there's an appointment. Because there's a woman called Wendy Cameron and her husband that said many years before, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to adopt a child. My biological mother wants to keep me in Edinburgh. She's trying everything she can. But God has a plan that Neil Cameron is not going to be in Edinburgh. Come on, church. Neil Cameron needs to be in Peterhead because God has a plan for his life. There's tears and sorrow in Edinburgh, but there's rejoicing in Peterhead. They don't even know each other, but before I was formed in my mother's womb, God knew me and destined a plan ultimately that I was not going to be in Edinburgh, I was going to be in Peterhead because there was a church called Apex that was going to make a difference in this nation, and you can make a difference if you're in Edinburgh. When God wants you to be in Peterhead, I want to speak into your rejection right now. Because there are some of you here that are crying over things that are happening. Sadly, some bad things, some things that are not good, some things that should not have happened. But as you're crying across here, I want to bring hope. Because your rejection, let me tell you, is God's plan. Because He works all things together for good. I'm not saying God planned your rejection. What I'm saying is God will weave into His master plan His will for your life. So as you're trying to hold on to some things here, God is saying you need to release them because if my biological mother held on to me here, I could never be across here. So God had to cause a sequence of events, can't keep him anymore, had to release, and as she's releasing there, up here in Peterhead, there's someone with their arms like that. You this morning, you're here and you're dealing with situation. Here's the word of the Lord. You need to release it. Because the very release can be the very thing that opens up for that situation for God to work His good. I am preaching better than you're responding this morning. Three months in the home, biological mother couldn't keep me. So there was a lady called Mrs. Browning. Did I get that right? Mrs. Browning. And she then would sort of look after the kids until they were adopted. It's so funny because when I speak about the orphan spirit or the spirit of rejection, I think I told you this before. Many, many years ago, someone came up to me and said, Neil, I think God, they didn't say I think, this is God has showing us. God has shown me that you are dealing with an orphan spirit. Really? Okay, I'm always open. I says, what do you mean? You see, Neil, it's a fact that, very spiritual voice, it's a fact that children that have been adopted feel that they've been rejected by their biological parents. So they carry all their life this thing called rejection. And we think, because God has shown us, and because you were in that orphanage all on your own, this is what they said, because you were in that orphanage all on your own, we think that you are carrying a spirit of rejection. I stopped and prayed, because I wondered what was wrong with me. Because I have never carried a spirit of rejection in my life. Number one, I was not in the orphanage on my own. My mother was there for 3 months, biological mother. Then I was looked after this other woman. Number two, I have found more love and understanding and belonging in the Cameron family than I could ever find. In fact, both my sisters are here. They love me. They would die for me. Oldest first. Is this true? Never been a moment. In fact, if there's anything, they think I'm spoiled. And that's a fact. I'm saying this with humor because I want to get something across. Because sometimes people try to put on you what God has not. If I'd bought into that because it was sounded so spiritual, if I'd bought into that, I would have been going, yeah, that's right, I've been rejected and I was given away. And I would have been carrying on my back, Matthew, that whole thing of rejection that someone else, are you getting this? That someone else wanted to put on me. That I suddenly, and I remember looking at them and smiling. I'm saying, look, I love you, thank you, but let me help you. There is no spirit of rejection here because I understand what it means to walk in adoption. Now here's the blessing. Some of you have only been adopted once into the kingdom of God. I've been adopted twice. No problem. Do you know, Mom told me this yesterday, that when she was, so when they were driving from Edinburgh, when I'd just been adopted, she's driving from Edinburgh, and Mom was there, obviously Dad, I think Louise and Philip, Wendy and Philip, because Louise hadn't been born then. That's right. So she's driving, and they stopped at a Perth Transport Cafe, all right? So they go in for something to eat, and Mum's carrying this little black baby, and the white truckers are sort of looking at my dad, my mom, Wendy and Philip, and this little black baby, and they're sort of looking down, and you could see it in their faces. Mum, as she is, as she's walking past them, she says, anyone can make a mistake, you know. Do you know anyone can make a mistake? Do you hear me? Anyone can make a mistake. But you're allowing that mistake of yesterday. Shouldn't have said it, shouldn't have. You're allowing that mistake to direct your future. So I'm up at Peterhead now. And there was a social worker in Aberdeen that now was annoyed that Mom and Dad had bypassed Aberdeen to go directly to Edinburgh. So this social worker in Aberdeen, who's ticked off now, stay with me, she's ticked off now because they should have gone through Aberdeen and not directly to Edinburgh. So this social worker in Aberdeen writes to Edinburgh. I'm already up in Peterhead, but adoption papers are not finally through. And writes to the social work department in Edinburgh and says, the Cameron family that this little child has been placed in, I think they're in a peculiar religion. This is true. I think they're in a peculiar religion. We would have reservations, and I think you really should go and check it out. So, social worker comes up from Edinburgh, arrives, and would you believe it? It just happened to be when, was it a wedding party, or there was a wedding on? She arrives at the door. Mum didn't know, says, hey, sorry, didn't know you were coming, but there's a wedding party. Would you like to come along? She says, yes. Now, she was very prim and proper. She goes to the wedding party. Now, this is in the days, this will help you understand, older generation. Just think Cameron's on steroids. Can I get a witness? So, if they'd like to dance in church, you should have seen them at a wedding. So this prim and proper social worker is taken into this wedding, and everyone's pulling her up, Dan, for a dance and spinning her around. And whooping, mom's thinking, oh, well, that's it. No chance now. What on earth are we going to do here? And then she says to my mom, I'm going to come along to your church service the following day. She went to the church service and then said to my mother and my father, I have no doubt in my mind that this is the right family for this child. Dancing, jumping, spinning, hoo ha, everything going on. But all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And what you release to God, God can have someone over here just waiting. So you've got to forget those things if you want to move forward to those things. You've got to deal with a sense in this room of rejection, of getting things wrong, because your very rejection can be the very doorway to the plan and purpose of God. Your pain can be the pathway to the purpose of God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a wonderful life. I finish with this. Mahatma Gandhi, who was the leader of India's nonviolent independence movement against British rule, he was an advocate for the civil rights of India. He was always rushing to meetings, and one day he was rushing to get on a train. As he's running to get on the train, which has started to move, one of his sandals fell off his feet. To the amazement of those that were with him, he reached down, he took the sandal off his other foot, and he threw it back. They asked him the question, Gandhi, why did you do that? He says, well, I've already lost one. If someone finds it, they may as well get a pair. You have a choice this morning of how you want to deal with the mishaps that happen in life. It may be that that sandal coming off your foot can actually become a blessing to someone else. Come on, stand your feet. Father God, in this room this morning as the band comes, Holy Spirit of the living God, you're working in this place. My God, you're dealing with hearts. You're challenging us, Lord, to realize that we are children of the living God. Father, there are people that for years have not even realized that they're filtering everything through this thought of orphan spirit when they've been adopted into the family of God. Spirit of the living God, work in hearts right now. People that are struggling with long-term issues, people that didn't even know the reason why. It may be a sense of abandonment. Someone gave up on them. And Lord, there are people in this room that are living with the fear that in their todays, someone's going to give up on them. People who have worked to earn approval, who never feel good enough. And we're carrying in our past, we're carrying the past scars of what was. But God, the good news is this. That we can press forward. Press forward into what you have for us. Because abandoned by man is welcomed by God.
Father, in this room, I pray right now, give us the total understanding of what it means to belong. That a disappointment in Edinburgh can be an appointment in Peterhead. That the worst nightmare in Edinburgh can be a dream in Peterhead. So help us to look forward through the eye of faith this morning. You're in this room, you've listened to my voice, thank you. You don't know Jesus, you never asked Christ to come into your heart. This is what it's all about. God loved you so much that He sent His Son because you were not part of the family, but He sent His Son so that you are invited into the family. The door is open, the welcome mat is there, but you have to respond. And you're here and you don't know Jesus, or you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, and you would say this morning, I want to become a child of God. I would love to pray with you after this service. But perhaps you would help me if that's you and you say, Neil, I want to come into a relationship with Jesus. Would you lift your hand? Anyone in this great hall this morning that recognizes their need for Christ, the greatest gift. Well, I want to challenge you, church. You need to start living out your sonship. Perhaps we need to get back into God's Word to get an understanding of what it means to be a child of the living God. Perhaps we're allowing the society or situation or circumstance to shape us and mold us into their image when we've been created in the image of God. Father, forgive us. And this morning, I believe that God is dealing with hearts. Your rejection in one area can be the pathway, the doorway. Your pain to an incredible future and outworking of the purpose of God. So Father, in this room, I know there are hearts that are struggling. I know there are people that are dealing with stuff so real. Father, there may be even quote unquote people that are interfering because they're trying to derail your plan and purpose. But once again, God, you can knock walls down. And you can send a prim and proper social worker all the way from Edinburgh to be used in part of the great story of what you're writing here in Peterhead. So Father, right now, may we realize that in our hand is a pen. And there are still stories and narratives to be written. Oh God, we're in a paragraph or perhaps there are people that are stalled in a sentence, but it's going to be okay. The book will be finished. And God will receive the glory. Why? Because I am a child of God.